Okay, as I told you earlier today, we would do part four today. I know it's very late, but we got to do this. This is important. This is the incredible peak of an incredible talk. And we're in for some really good surprises today of what is being told over here. Very, very powerful things are being revealed in this particular talk. This is part four of episode 30 of Key to Redemption. This episode is called Mashiach is Revealed. So we began learning how Mashiach is revealed in each and every one of us. We all have potential Mashiach in the last class. The whole entire talk is all about revelation. And the theme of what we've been learning about in the first three classes is that the revelations that took place to Abraham, to Avram, the highest revelations, are not something of the past, but something that is applicable and something that is actually available and happening to each and every one of us, beginning with our own soul being revealed in our bodies, but the level of consciousness of being aware of it, that depends on our work. That's what we learned in the earlier classes. And we're supposed to thirst or yearn for that revelation. Once we know that it exists, we should want it. And then we should do whatever we can to make it, to bring it into our experience, which is through, as we discussed earlier, the work of circumcision, the spiritual work of circumcision, to infuse godly mindfulness and consciousness into all that we do. In the last class, we learned that in addition to the revelation that has to do with what Hashem revealed himself to Avraham Avinu back then, there is a much greater revelation waiting for us, which is the revelation in the times of Mashiach, which is going to be the ultimate time of godly revelation. That's what characterized Mashiach's days. And both qualities are revelation from above on the highest level, but also a permeation that it permeates our bodies all the way to the point that our physical flesh sees and experiences God. And the Rebbe went along and said something really amazing, that just like with Avram Avinu, although we once thought that it is an experience that is only for the saintly, and only for certain individuals, and that it's not possible for us to have. The truth is not that case. The revelation is there, happening already to everyone. It's only our job to open our eyes in order to experience it. The same is also regarding the godliness of Mashiach. The divine revelation that's going to be in the days of Mashiach is already current and present now. Our job is only to make it come out into the open. Where do we have this astonishing revelation of Mashiach in the world? The Rebbe says, don't look too far. It's your own soul. Within earlier, we spoke that the revelation of the soul and the body is called already Vayera Elov Hashem, God revealing himself in us. But on a much deeper level, there is the quintessence of the soul, which is called the highest level of soul, which is called the Yechida of the soul, the fifth level of the soul, the deepest, the essence of the soul, which that the essence of the soul is within the divine realm. It's the very, very core inner point. That's the Mashiach inside of us. And when that is revealed, obviously Mashiach comes, it's going to be fully revealed. The Rebbe says we have that already now. And today's days, we can actually access it already, open it up already, and therefore have already Messianic revelation. That's the idea that we learned basically till now, till chapter 12. And this is where we are going to begin, start with chapter 12. Okay. This is in general to understand that just like he said, that the past revelation to Abraham is current. It's here with us, to each and every one of us. It's our job to manifest it. Same is also the future revelations is also current, because the future revelations are going to come through Mashiach, and Mashiach is to be found in each and every one of us. We all have a spark of Mashiach in our soul. And when we ignite our own spark and bring it into actuality and bring it into manifestation, the very same, this spark of Mashiach then manifests when we do it and we bring and help others uncover the Mashiach spark through teaching about Mashiach and the like, putting people in tune with the deepest parts of their soul. All these little sparks together will trigger the revelation of Mashiach himself, the grand big Mashiach. That was the last thing we left off. Now the Rebbe comes along and makes it very, very timely. In other words, this idea could have been applicable any time in history. If it only would become conscious to people that they have a soul, and not only a soul, a deeper, higher level of soul, which is the Moshiach soul. And this will be opened and revealed that anybody in all of history could have already lived and tapped that level of Mashiach. However, back then it wasn't spoken about that much. And the reason is because it wasn't the time yet. As the world moves into the Mashiach era, we become more cognizant of our own Mashiach potential inside of us. And in this he adds that now we're already reached that time. And he explains why. So in chapter 12, he's going to build how in the last about 120 years, we got closer to this time. Because from the beginning of, let me see which age. Hold on, let me see what the year. Give me a second over here. In the year 1861, and so we're 1861, we were moving more into the position for these revelations to happen. What's significant about that time? So the Rebbe says, you know, the Mashiach energies and Mashiach's presence in the world comes through a series of tzaddikim. In other words, these great tzaddikim are the ones, the forebearers, through which Mashiach, just like Moshe, wasn't just introduced in the world. He didn't pop out of the sky, Moses, out of nowhere. But he came at the final link of an incredible chain of great saintly tzaddikim, who they already began laying the groundwork for the exodus of Egypt and the giving of the Torah. And he was number 7 of that long chain. So the Rebbe is also mentioned when he became Rebbe that he's number 7 of a change. And he is, the Rebbe said clear that he is in the first mimer, the Rebbe kind of said that there's going to be 7 tzaddikim in the end of days, referring to himself as the 7th. In that case, the Rebbe says. So we can really say that all 7 tzaddikim are already opening up messianic experiences. But again, here the Rebbe is focusing on the last 3, number 5, number 6, and number 7. In other words, once they came to the world, and especially the Rebbe, the simple reason he's talking about this is because it's the 5th Rebbe's birthday when the Rebbe was talking about it. But it wasn't just saying that randomly or because it's his birthday, you have to say something. He was actually uncovering a certain depth about the 5th Rebbe, more than the first 4. That now we're reaching a crucial point. And he begins to explain that since in the latter generations, this becomes so much more intensified because it was revealed the special power of the 20th day of Cheshvan, which becomes blessed from the Shabbos of the 18th of Cheshvan. As we discussed in the earlier classes, the Shabbos the Rebbe spoke was the 18th of Cheshvan, in which he's so beautifully connected to this whole idea, because 18, he explained, means life, and Cheshvan means the month of mundanity, and life being infused in mundanity means that the deepest part of our soul gets to express itself in the most mundane elements of life, and that's Mashiach, that's everything we've been talking about, that the physical earth receives and absorbs and is able to get comfortable and fully with the revelation of God, fully revealed inside of it. So he says that idea is connected to the 18th of Cheshvan, which leads us into the 20th of Cheshvan, which, as he explained earlier, if you remember in last class, the number 20 is connected to the crown, Mashiach's crown, and the spiritual source of Mashiach's crown, which is the crown of Hashem, the infinite crown, the highest divine revelation that will be revealed or associated with God himself, that is going to be revealed in the days of Mashiach. We are even in the lowest of worlds, which corresponds to the time frame of Cheshvan, which is a low period of time, because as we said earlier, no holidays. Now the previous, now the fifth Rebbe, the Rebbe Rasha, being born on the 20th of Cheshvan, expresses what his business was, the Rebbe says. The business of the Rebbe Rashab is exactly this point, to bring the highest godliness down into manifestation in the lowest worlds, which is Mashiach, which is messianic. And therefore, not only is he born on the 20th, which 20 is associated with Keter, the crown, but even deeper than that, the year he was born was 1861, which is the year 5,621, which if you take those letters together, you get the word Kisra. Now Kisra is Keter with an Aleph, which is the Aramaic way of writing crown. So he was born on the day of the crown, in the year of the crown, because the Rebbe Rashab begins to draw down Moshiach's crown to the world. And the Rebbe is now going to explain that there were three generations. The fifth Chabad Rebbe pushes and moves the world into kind of the arena of the redemption. He's followed up by the next two Chabad Rabbeim, which completed the work, and the Rebbe is going to lead it up to the point, now everything is done, and we are actually ready for Mashiach to be revealed. And then he goes on to say the bold statement that the truth is, Mashiach is not only here, but he's actually even revealed. So these are intense statements. Let's see the buildup. So he says, first of all, let's connect the Rebbe Rashab to the general theme we've been talking about revelation of God being revealed all the way down in this physical world. So he begins with the idea that number one, the Rebbe Rashab, even when he was a little boy, as we learned in the beginning of the talk, he came to his grandfather and he was crying why God does not reveal himself to him, like he did to Abraham. So when you have a four-year-old kid, a four or a five-year-old kid, whatever that age, it mentions that he was four or five, who has nothing to cry about other than he's not experiencing the revelation of God, it kind of gives you the sense that you're talking about a child that is prone to such revelation or that is destined to such revelation. It was already in his, it was his quest, his thirst, and his longing that God should reveal himself to the point that he's sobbing and he's unconsolable. So pretty much related to the idea that he's seeking a revelation of God. Now, what did he do his entire life? He studied Torah. But he didn't just study Torah. He revealed the deepest and highest teachings of Hasidus. Anybody that is a student of Chabad Hasidism knows that although we have seven teachers who taught Hasidus, the Rebbe Rashab, his expansiveness in his Hasidic discourses, the depth in which he probes things, and the clarity in which he brings, and his ability to bring things down, 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 and to organize things, is unique even amongst the Chabad Rebbe. So much so that it is his Hasidic books that are studied most in an organized fashion. When you want to study Hasidus in a way that you're building, you're learning it in an organized fashion. One can study, like we do, Thursday night, random discourses, different on the Parsha, so on and so forth. And that gives you a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. When you learn it for many years, you get kind of a picture. But if you want to learn it methodically, in a very organized way, like learning through an encyclopedia and going, your best bet is to study the Rebbe Rashab's Hasidus. He's the most organized, the most all-comprehensive teacher of Hasidism. Why? And he's building everything on the previous masters, but he's taking from them, organizing him, and bringing him down. Now, what is Hasidism? Hasidism, the teachings of Hasidism, is the teachings about God. It's divine knowledge. The subject is Hashem, is knowing the inner part of the Torah, which the subject matter is all God, knowing the entire systems of the spiritual godly worlds And Chassidus is way beyond even Kabbalah. So if he learned this teaching, which means his entire life, he was engaged in the what? In Vayera Elav Hashem, and God being revealed to him. To give such teachings, you need God to be revealed to you. But not only for himself, but also to everyone else, because he was teaching this, and his teachings were printed. And the Rebbe brings in the footnote number 81, that the Rebbe Rashab himself said that when he sits with his great-grandfather's book, the Likutei Torah, that's the book with the big red book that we study on Thursday nights, when he sits with that book alone in his room, he experiences what the philosophers once said, that you can't know God, because if you would know him, you would be him. I mean, you would become unified with God, and you can't, so you can't know him. But the Rebbe Rashab said, when I sit with my grandfather's book and I study it, I experience, if you would know him, you would be him, which means total fusion with God. That's what he was saying about himself. So this is the person who vayeda elav Hashem, that godliness is revealed to him. But the Rebbe says it wasn't only for himself. He shared that with others. He paved the path for everyone else. Why? Number one, his books were taught and published. And today they even have a lot of the books with English translations, so you can immerse yourself in divine comprehension. But more, he was the one who studied, who set up and established a yeshiva, Torah center that is going to study not just Torah, but is going to study many hours a day the Hasidic teachings, which means going to study the subject of God. When you're studying Talmud, you're studying mainly the subject of the world as it is from God's eyes. But the subject matter is creation and phenomenon in the world. You're studying how God wants you to behave in the world. You have to study about business, study about all kinds of aspects of life. But the subject matter is not God. In the study of Hasidus, the subject matter is God. So number one, and he made a yeshiva. Now what's so, now people always studied Hasidism from when it's around, the last close to 300 years. People have been studying Hasidic teachings. But what is novel and new, what was initiated by the fifth Chabad Rebbe, was there was never a yeshiva, a systematic school that educated people and made it part of the curriculum to study Hasidism. The Rebbe Rashab made it part of the curriculum, which means he educated hundreds of young people to experience firsthand knowledge of God. So his entire oomph in his life and is what his accomplishments were, was to make Vayera Elav Hashem, that God appeared to Abraham, a revelation of God, very, very, make it universal for everyone. And more, his, as we mentioned earlier, the style of his Hasidus was to give enormous clarity, and even he writes in his own words that we should understand the most abstract ideas of godliness in the same way and in the same manner that we study and tackle other aspects of Torah that deal with the tangible world. So this emphasizes the other part, that he brings it down all the way to the point where you really, really can comprehend it with your human logic, with your human mind, not with faith, not with through a abstract experience, but literally to draw it down fully to manifest in the physical brain. So that is what we're talking about. That's the idea of Vayera Elav Hashem, the unification of it. Now, in as much as the Rebbe Rashab establishes and creates this phenomenon of unifying, bringing Hashem down to the human experience, in addition to that, it wasn't just for its own sake, but it's also as a preparation. Why did it reveal itself only at the Chabad fifth Rebbe? Why not the fourth? The answer is, by the fourth, we weren't so close to Mashiach. By the third, we weren't so close to Mashiach. As we get closer to the ultimate revelation of Mashiach, which what is going to be? the Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be the time when there's going to be an enormous influx of Torah. Torah is going to come pouring into the world. Which part of Torah? The secrets, the esoteric parts of Torah, the godly side of the Torah is going to come into the world and flood humanity. And as Rashi says in Shir HaShirim, God on the verse where it says, God will kiss us with the kiss of his lips. So Rashi says he will teach us the deepest secrets of the Torah, and that's the meaning of God kissing us with the kiss of his lips, because the new Torah is going to come forth. And that force is, that Torah is coming forth from God himself. And what else is unique about the time of Mashiach? Torah, which means godliness in its most intense revelation, and at the same time, it's going to be fully experienced by us. We're going to see it, not just hear it, not just kind of connect to it. One of the unique qualities that we speak about that will only happen in the days of Mashiach is that when we're going to study Torah, it's going to be in a manner of visualization. It's going to be shown to us, not just studied and understood. So that means so much more that it's a godly revelation that's registering fully into our bodies so that we can see it, just like we see a physical object. So therefore, the Rebbe says, what the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe, was introducing to the world wasn't just an opportunity for divine experience, for Vayera El of Hashem, of Abraham, but rather it was closer actually to the revelation, not to Avraham, but to the revelation of the future, the Messianic revelation. Now, not only was this related to the reason he established the yeshiva, and the reason he gave us Chassidus in such a way was to kind of season us already, to begin seasoning the human condition to this great Messianic revelation. But even more so, it was not only a hidden intention, but it was actually spoken of, and it was part of his action that he did with starting the yeshiva, was explicitly stated that it's related to the future, to Mashiach. Why? The Rebbe Rashab gave a fascinating talk to the boys of this yeshiva. First of all, the boys of this yeshiva were held to an enormous, enormous high standards. Their demands that were made of them, both academically and ethically and morally, for them to achieve the highest, most refined levels of character refinement and so on and so forth, was incredible. And he demanded of them that they should rise above their physical needs and really, 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 you know, drop all connection to materialism. And I'm talking about even the basics. Of course, they fed them and gave them what they needed, but the point over there was that people should lift themselves out of the material state of being, you know, connected in a deep, but rather to be completely focused and devoted to spiritual pursuits, obviously with their physical bodies, but spiritual pursuits, to implementing God's will in the physical body. But life should become life of godliness, not life of not materialistic life. So this is what he demanded very much. And to express that, he gave a whole talk and he said, the Talmud says that anybody that would go out and join King David's armies was required, because King David wanted his army men to be fully devoted to battle. For their reason, they all gave divorces to their wives, because he didn't want them being worried that just in case they get killed at war, what's going to be with their wives? Their wives might not know about it, and they're going to remain, because a woman that doesn't have any witnesses that her husband died cannot remarry. So in order that they shouldn't be worried about that, they should be kind of free to go into battle without any worry, they would first divorce their wives, and of course, when they would come back, either they would remarry, or the divorce that was written on condition, whatever, that it's activated if they don't return or whatever. So I'm not exactly sure the details of it, but that's kind of the gist of it. So the Rebbe then said to the boys of the yeshiva, since you are joining David's armies, amazing statement, since this yeshiva are the armies of David, you have to give a divorce to your wife. Who's the wife that he's, they weren't married, these boys. The wife that he's referring to is their bodies, their animalistic selves. Just cut it off completely. Don't be attached. I'm expecting of you to be fully devoted to your spiritual well-being. And that's, we'll take care that you're physically okay. You're not neglecting your body to the point where it's not healthy, but your thoughts should not be about breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or about your pillow, or how comfortable your bed is, or your mattress is. That's not where your mind should be. Your mind should be focused only and exclusively to the pursuit of Torah in general, and the pursuit of divine knowledge, and the refinement through prayer, which will bring you into a state of being truly being able to connect to the divinity that you're studying about. That was his demand. That's the idea. So the Rebbe is saying, the Rebbe is, however, taking it very seriously. He wasn't just saying that just like King David's armies were instructed to divorce their wives, I'm instructing you to divorce your wives as well if you want to be in my yeshiva. But the reason why he was comparing it to King David, to David HaMelech, was because the Rebbe Rashab knew that he and his descendants are the family of King David. Because we know David HaMelech lived 2,500 years ago, more than that, about 2,800 years ago, King David. But his kingship will continue and will be reintroduced with the coming of Mashiach. It will be re-implemented in this world. There is a chain that is that channel. Even throughout the exile, that family is alive and well, and they have leadership positions amongst the Jewish people. And the leaderships of Chabad knew with absolute certainty that they are of that lineage. They're the grandchildren of the Maral of Prague. The Maral of Prague is a direct descendant from David HaMelech. So they have that royal blood flowing in them. So when they're establishing a yeshiva and they're selecting special boys to come join, they saw it, the Rebbe Rashab saw it, as selecting an army. And he told them, in that talk, he said that what's this army's, what are you fighting for? You're not going to go physical battle, not picking up a gun. What are you doing in my army? You're going to fight those, and it says in the verse, that ashecherfu ikvois meshichacha, those that are going to desecrate the heels of Mashiach. What does it mean? So in the discourse, he explains, literally, he speaks prophecy. It's amazing. He was speaking of these talks that he was given was in the early, in the early 1920s or in the late, around 1917, around that time. So a lot of revolution was going on, the revolution in Russia and so on and so forth. But he said, there's going to be two generations now. One generation is going to fight God, is going to desecrate God, and the other generation is going to desecrate Mashiach. That means we're facing now two generations that are going to fight a spiritual battle. One of them is going to be a generation of atheistic beliefs. Well, that was the communists who wanted to eradicate all belief in God. That was the first generation. He's basically saying, I'm creating the soldiers to battle with the forces of atheism. Now, in his days, the Rebbe Rashab, these forces did not yet fully attack. It was his son, the next Chabad Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, that was going to take the heat, and he was going to lead the battle with the communists that they wanted to snuff out Judaism and they wanted to erase belief in God from millions of Jews. He took them on, but who were his helpers? How did he do it? He had all the boys that were educated in his father's school in the yeshiva, and they were educated to be troopers, to be devoted with utter selflessness to the truth, and he with those students, He created an entire network, underground network, to fight the communists by teaching Torah to children and spreading Judaism all over. He was arrested. They were arrested. Many of them were killed. Many of them were sent to Siberia, never to be heard of again. And they fought. That was the first generation. But then he said, the Rebbe Rashab, then, I'm preparing the soldiers for the second generation. Those are going to be the generation of people who are going to laugh. They're going to believe in Torah, but they're going to dismiss Moshiach. They might be very pious Jews who study Torah and everything, but they say, don't get so excited about Moshiach. He'll come whenever he comes. Don't make Moshiach your focal point. Like we see, next generation, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's generation from 1950 and onward, in addition to the Rebbe fighting assimilation in America with all of the students of the Chabad yeshivas. And with them, he created this entire enormous network of emissaries where the Chabad network goes everywhere and fights apathy and alienation and atheistic beliefs, plants beliefs in God across the entire world and awakens the Jewish people's faith in Hashem, as everybody will attest that Chabad is the most successful in doing this than anyone else. In addition to that, the Rebbe instilled Moshiach as the center of everything, and he didn't stop speaking about Moshiach. And for many, many, many years, the rest of, or so much of the Jewish world dismissed it. Some even laughed at it, and others even fought against it. But now, if you want to get titles, if you want to get recognition on YouTube, you have to put the word Moshiach there. That's when everybody's watching. In other words, now everybody's talking about Moshiach. If it was not for the Rebbe and the Hasidim, Moshiach would have kind of pretty much been snuffed out. He fanned the flames of Mashiach, kept the faith alive, but not just everybody. Every Jew believes in Mashiach. It's not a question. Some acknowledged that belief. Some had it hidden. And those that even acknowledged it and knew it, but didn't feel it was important to talk about it or to make it a focal point. It will come whenever it will come. But that's not the way people talk today. It's in all the songs. It's everywhere. Mashiach, Mashiach. It's like a common word. That's because of the two generations of the yeshiva that the Rebbe Rashab established. And he called them army. He called them the military, Chayale Beis David, the army of King David, because this is King David's battle. King David reincarnate. As King David is the energy over here of the messianic revelation of Mashiach, of the ultimate reestablishment of God's kingdom in this world. So who established this yeshiva? Rebbe Rashab. Why him? Because we're moving into, that's what the Rebbe is saying, because we are moving into so close to Mashiach's times. So the Rebbe Rashab, not only did he teach divine knowledge, which is a preparation which prepares us spiritually to this great revelation of divine knowledge that's going to happen in Mashiach, and we need to season our minds for that. He also literally established a yeshiva that will create a force within the Jewish people to pave the way for King David for Mashiach to come. That's the idea. He's referring now this idea that there are enemies that fight Mashiach. First they fight God, and then they fight Mashiach. It's an impurity that's in the world that attacks, and it gets people to become atheists, and then it gets even religious people but that don't like to hear the word Mashiach. It's a certain virus. It's not coming from a holy place. So where do we know this from? It's a verse in chapter 89 in Psalms. Psalm 89, it says, Asherherfu. Ashechafucha Hashem, those who desecrate you, Asher Cherfu, those who desecrate, Ikvais Mashiachacha, the heels of Mashiach. Which means when the heels of Mashiach will be stamping and making a ruckus in the world, Jews, wake up, Mashiach is coming, There will be those who will want to silence that voice. The last verse, however, in chapter 89, King David knows there will be a battle, but he knows he will win. And that's why the last words are, Baruch Hashem li olam, blessed is God forever, amen vi amen. Amen means certified. Certified and certified. What's certified? Certified is victory, because ultimately God will win. Mashiach will win. So we will eventually have the victory. Yes, we will encounter a powerful battle, but the forces of King David will win that battle. And as I mentioned earlier, you see Mashiach won already. Everybody is doing all the stuff. The Jewish world is awake with Mashiach energy now. Mashiach has already won. Now we just need the full revelation, but it has already won already. So from there he goes to chapter. So what's the point? The point is that since we're living now in the later generation, we've passed already the fifth Chabad Rebbe's generation, which was, again, as we said earlier, he was born in 1821, and then his leadership started in 1880. He was born in 1881, and his leadership, his father passed away in 1883, and he became Rebbe unofficially in 1883, officially in 1893, and then passed away in 1920. So that's this era of the Rebbe Rashab. From there, the Rebbe says, well, we are past 1920 now. From that time, we've advanced much more into Mashiach's territory. So it is even more emphasized, he says, in our generation, which he's already the third generation to the fifth Rebbe, because the fifth Rebbe is five, and the Rebbe is number seven, so six and seven. My father-in-law, the Rebbe says, the previous Rebbe, and he's referring now to himself, although he's not saying it, the seventh Rebbe with the Hasidim in the seventh generation, which in these two generations, we've already accomplished so much that we've already finished the work that was supposed to be done. In other words, whatever the yeshiva was established to lay the final groundwork for King David to roll into town, to pave the road for Mashiach, that was already done through the sweat and the toil and the sacrifice of two generations. And where do we stand now? We're standing ready to receive and to greet Mashiach. Especially, and he says, that's what my father-in-law had already announced in his days. Especially after we've continued the work of the army. The army was only getting stronger and stronger. And what were we doing? The next thing that brings Mashiach, the spreading of the wellsprings of Hasidus across the entire world. Because the wellsprings of Hasidus, Mashiach himself said that when you spread these wellsprings, Mashiach will come. And we've done that already for 40 years. Here's the Rebbe is referring to the 40 years of the Rebbe himself, of the seventh Rebbe's leadership, from 1951 till now. But when he says 40, he meant till that year that he was talking, 1992. We're already past the 40 years. So 40 years is a time that it says that God, it takes for a person to open their eyes and open their ears and have an open heart to really get what their teacher says. So we've already gotten it. We've already studied already for 40 years. Now, so how much more so? This is so much stronger than now we can live with the revelation of Mashiach. The way the sikhs go is they lead on and on. It's sometimes they stop and fit and put in the, like that we keep focus. That especially that we're in this generation, we're holding so far. For sure, Mashiach is so tangible and so ready so that we can all live in this revelation that he's speaking about and quest and thirst and long if we're not feeling it yet. Now he takes it further. He's going to emphasize, okay, that's our generation. But why now? Why 1992? He says, in our generation itself, we are standing already in the year of the tzaddik. What does that mean, the year of the tzaddik? We've already entered into the 90s. What does he mean, into the 90s? Tzaddik means 90. What's the 90s? You say it was 91. He wasn't referring to the secular date, the 90s. What he's referring to is, the Rebbe was referring to his own age. It is a custom of the Baal Shem Tov that every day of the year, we should say a psalm of Tehillim, a chapter of Tehillim that is corresponding to the age, to our age, to the year that we are entering or continuing to complete its birthday, its year. So if you're 33 years old, you would say from your 33rd birthday to your 34th birthday, you would say chapter 34. Then when you reach 34, you start saying chapter 35. That's the way it works. Now, Hasidim, they don't just say their own chapter, they also say the Rebbe's chapter because they feel a soul bond with the Rebbe. So in order to feel that, they're not only, number one, they want to pray for the Rebbe, saying Tehillim, a psalm, you're praying for the Rebbe. Also, because they want to connect their souls deeper by realizing my soul is only an extension of the Rebbe's soul, because that's the way it explained mysticism, that the tzaddik and the leader of generation, he is the source and all souls are plugged into his soul. And that way, to strengthen your bond with the tzaddik, as you say, the chapter of the Rebbe's kapitel. So, the year 1992, when the Rebbe was talking, the Rebbe was that time 89 years old. That means that he was saying chapter 90. And he wasn't only saying it himself, but thousands of Hasidim would say chapter Psalm 90 every day. So the Rebbe is referring to that. Now 90 in the letter that indicates 90 is the letter Tzaddik. So the Rebbe says, especially that now, not only are we entered already the year of the 90, the year of the tzaddik. What does that mean? What is that significant? What's significant is that we completed already saying chapter 89. Because chapter 89, they were saying in the year when the Rebbe was 88. Remember, you're always saying it. So when the Rebbe was 88, the year before that, until the Rebbe's birthday, which is the 11th day of Nisan, we were saying chapter 89. And what is the content of chapter 89? The fierce battle that Mashiach has to fight in order to break the dark forces in the world that are opposing him. So the Rebbe said, but now we've already reached and completed saying that chapter. And the Rebbe sees the completion of saying that chapter by the Jewish people and all those who were saying it on his behalf along with him. The Rebbe sees that as that work is done already. We can turn over the page. We completed the chapter of those battles. Once we completed the chapters of those battles, so there's no more obstacles. Now, Mashiach is fully revealed and ready to be revealed. So how much more so that we can start experiencing and living messianic experiences right now? That's where he's going with it. He says, we completed chapter 89, which deals with the battles and even the victory. That's already also in 89. That means we were victorious already. Now, we start a whole new era of the 90th chapter. Now, let's take a look what's the 90th chapter. It begins with the words Tfilah LaMoshe, a prayer for Moshe. And it concludes with a verse that says, V'yihi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, let it be the pleasantness of God should be upon us. U'maisa Yodeinu, and the work of our hands, Koinenehu, God should bless it, that it should be very strongly established. So we're asking God to bless the work of our hands. Which work is this referring to? To bless it and to infuse it with success and everything. Which work? The work that we're talking about. So when did Moshe say this? Was part of Moshe's prayer. Moshe said it when the Jewish people built the tabernacle. When they built a home for God, and it was like very, very strange that humans are building a physical edifice, a physical structure, and God will actually live in it. So Moshe blessed the Jewish people that the work that you've done should be accepted by God, and God should bless it, and he should come dwell in it. So the Rebbe sees that the last verse in his chapter, now again, his chapter is not just random, it happens to be his. Why is he speaking about it? Because he's the leader of the Jewish people. So he's the soul of all souls. And therefore, when his chapter is the subject, the content of his chapter applies for the entire generation. So the Rebbe says, we've done the battles already. That's over, because that was in chapter 89. But now we're already in the 90th chapter, where the conclusion is Moshe's blessing that the work that we've done to prepare the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, and God should come dwell in it. So we're ready for that already now, because now in Mashiach's times, we're also going to build God a temple. This time, he's going to be blessed with an infinitely higher blessing, because it's going to, his presence is never going to leave. It's going to be there forever. So we're holding already there. So how much more so is it now Mashiach times? Now he builds the case even further, doesn't stop, and he takes it further. And he says, in the 90s, in the year Tzadik, within this year itself, which started, remember, the Rebbe is talking now at this time of the year, which is Cheshvan. This is now, when does the Rebbe's birthday, when did the chapter change? In Nisan, which is Passover time, which is spring. And the months we have are Nisan, it's already 8 months into the year from when the chapter. So the Rebbe says, we're not at the beginning of the 90th chapter, which we might start nibbling already on the new revelations of the future, but we're already deep inside of it. Yeah, it's all so beautiful. He's teaching us how to see passage of time and that we've gone through and certain things have been accomplished. And we're holding more in this, not get more frustrated and more jaded and lose hope. The opposite, to realize that, yes, things, godly things are taking place. The world is absorbing more and more because the world only has one destination. And that's its ultimate divine destination that God wants. The further time passes, the closer we're getting, albeit sometimes to us, it looks like we're regressing. That's external. That's superficial. Like the Rebbe taught us all the time. We're really moving forward and further. And therefore, it's already 7 months into this 90th year, into this messianic zone. And no, I made a mistake. He says, I'm sorry, I jumped that. He's going to explain that in a moment. But first he says, the 90th year of the Rebbe, being that it starts in Nisan and it ends in Nisan, which it starts in springs and it ends in spring, then it contains within it two Hebrew years. Because the Hebrew year, the Jewish calendar, switches in like October in September, Rosh Hashanah. So the Rebbe says, we're past the first half of the year, which was 5751, since my birthday, he's saying, which is 5751, and we are in the 5752 part. 5752. Oh my, the Rebbe says. The Hebrew acronym for that is, let there be wonders in everything. This year will be a wonder in everything. What kind of wonders are we talking about? The wonders of the future redemption. So these lights are already shining. To the Rebbe sees these lights. These are the wonders of the redemption. God promised us, when you went out of Egypt, I will now, currently, just like then I showed you wonders, I will now show you wonders. So these are the wonders. And since we entered into the year of the wonders will be in it, so these wonders, and these wonders include not just the general messianic time, but the revelation of the new Torah that is going to be a wondrous Torah, a mind-blowing Torah that Mashiach is going to teach. We're already beginning to nibble on that Torah. And the year is coined by the Rebbe as Neflois, the wonders, Bakol in everything, which the word everything is associated to a verse that says in this week's Torah portion, Parshas Chayesara, that God blessed Abraham with everything. By Isaac, it says God blessed Isaac Mikol from everything, or that he has. Didn't say God blessed him. He says, I will eat Mikol from everything you bring me. And by Yaakov, it says Kol. So the sages say that Bakol Mikol Kol. From here, we learn out that our forefathers were already tapping the future times of Mashiach. God gave them a taste of the world to come. So if you see that the word Bakol is referencing the world to come, which means the post-Mashiach world, and we're saying this year is the wonders, Bakol and everything, so from the wonder side and from the Bakol side, everything over here is a recipe of Mashiach. Now, in 5752 itself, the year 5752, again, corresponding to 1992. In the year 5752, he says, we're not right at the beginning of it, Rosh Hashanah. We're about a month and a half in. We're already in the Torah portion of Parshas Vayera. So in such a potent, dynamite year of Mashiach, we are hitting the Torah portion of Vayera, which Vayera means divine revelation on the highest level in this world, which is Mashiach. Wow. So the Mashiach energy today, he says, is over the top. It's like a tank ready to explode. I sometimes feel bad for the Rebbe in a sense. Poor Rebbe. He's so excited. He's so passionate. He sees the bubbling, and we're dazed. We're like, yeah, you sure? You think so? And he's saying, guys, wake up. What's with you? The world is, the pot is cooking like crazy. Everything over here is all the arrows are, and the energies are here. Tap the energies. He's still waiting 30 years for us to wake up. But he's telling us it's here. And not only do we have that it's the week of the Vayer Elov Hashem, it's also the 18th of Cheshvan, which the 18th of Cheshvan is exactly this point, as we discussed earlier, 18 godliness infused in the world. And it's connected to the 20th of Cheshvan, as we said earlier, which is the level of the crown, which indicates the Mashiach's revelation, because Mashiach is a king with a crown, and which represents the divine revelation of kingship that is going to be in the entire world in the days of Mashiach. So how powerful is this day, the Shabbos? Now, and it's interesting, in footnote 107, he adds that in chapter 132 of Psalms, there is a lot of reference to Mashiach. Now, why is he, we'll see in a moment, but why is he referencing chapter 132? Why is he bringing that suddenly in? Because as we said earlier, that Hasidim would say the not only their psalm, but also the Rebbe's psalm. Now, in the case where you have a Rebbe who passed on, like the sixth Chabad Rebbe, so even though when the Hasidim anointed the new Rebbe, those Hasidim who knew the previous Rebbe, they would still say the previous Rebbe's chapter after he passed away. So let's say the previous Rebbe passed away when he was 70 years old. So the Rebbe became Rebbe the next year. So even though they had a new Rebbe, those that felt connected to the previous Rebbe would say, continue saying 71, 72, 73, and they would change it on the previous Rebbe's birthday. Now the old Hasidim who still remembered the Rebbe Rashab, now in the time the Rebbe was talking, there were Hasidim who still remember the fifth Rebbe. And it seems to be likely that the Rebbe himself, although he never saw the Rebbe Rashab, even though he could have seen him, but he didn't see him, the fifth Rebbe. He only saw the sixth Rebbe. He was his son-in-law, but not the fifth. But it seems from the Rebbe that the Rebbe himself would say every day his father-in-law's chapter and the chapter of the Rebbe Rashab. Now, obviously, we can only do that till 150, because there's 150 chapters. So that year, 1957-52, on the 20th of Cheshvan, which is the Rebbe Rashab's birthday. Remember, you always switch the chapter at the birthday, even for someone who has passed away already. So the Rebbe, that year, the Rebbe Rashab, had he been alive, he would have been 131 years old. That means he would have started to say 132. So the Rebbe is saying, let's check the chapter of the 132 to the Rebbe Rashab's life. In that chapter, it talks about God's promise to King David for the eternity of his kingdom, that will never be canceled. It will go on and on and on and never be interrupted. And God promises that the temple, the third temple, is also going to be forever and ever and ever. So he says, wow, we're entering into the divine, God's promise to the kingdom of David. In other words, since he connected the Rebbe Rashab to Mashiach, remember, as we discussed earlier, he sets up the armies of King David. So the fact that now we have, right now, today, the Rebbe says, we start saying the chapter that have the promises about the victory of King David and the victory of the lasting power of both the Davidic dynasty and the temple. So we have extra oomph for this for Mashiach right now. To add to that, now soon we're going to get to the part that is just like crazy. But I don't want to skip anything. So I know we're building. I'm staying true to the talk. I'm trying to. To add to that, since today, he says, is the day of the crown, the revelation of the crown, of the month of Cheshvan, because it's the 20th day of Cheshvan. So it's the crown of Cheshvan. He says, the crown of the month of Cheshvan includes within it the crown of the month of Kislev. All the other crowns of the year. Why? Why would Cheshvan include all the other crowns? Because he says Cheshvan is a very important month. Cheshvan is the first month. It's not the first month in our calendar, but it's the first month that we're doing work in the world. Because again, the month of Tishrei, we're kind of outside of the world. It's full of holidays. The first month that we're doing work in the world. So it's like the foundation. And on top of the foundation, everything else is built. So if we are in the today already on the 20th of Cheshvan, which is the power of the crown of Cheshvan, it includes the 20th of every month, which means the crowns of all the other months. So the day, the Rebbe is not only empowering us from what it is in this day, he's grabbing also the future energies and he's already connecting them to the day as well. And he's saying, well, because this day includes really in its potential already all the 20ths of all the other months. Now, which months does he mention? The 20th of the month of Kislev. Now, Kislev, he says, is such a power. In each time he mentions why is it such a great month regarding Mashiach. Kislev is the miracle, is the holiday of Hanukkah, which Hanukkah is associated with dedication of a temple, because they rededicated the temple, which is associated with Mashiach, because then we're going to rededicate the future temple. So the 20th of that month is a very potent, powerful day. And we have that 20th already a month earlier. Now, he says, and in addition to that, the month of Kislev is special because it's also, we're celebrating the miracle of the oil. And oil represents wisdom and associated with the wisdom of the secrets of the Torah, which is another messianic phenomenon that we spoke earlier, that Mashiach will reveal the secrets. From Kislev, we go to Teves. Teves, the Rebbe says, very powerful month. Sages tell us that Teves is a cold month. It's the month where physical intimacy is enjoyed the most, because the words the sages use, the body enjoys the body because it's cold outside. So the warmth of another body warms the person. The sages say regarding to the miracle of Purim that Ahasuerus, the girls were lined up for the beauty contest and who would be his wife, and he would take these girls and he would sleep with them as his decision of who he's going to marry. So Esther, who was the Jewish girl, and later she became his queen and saved the Jewish people at that time, she was taken, the verse says in Megillah, she was taken in the month of Teves. So the Talmud says, why did God orchestrate it? Because he wanted Ahasuerus to like her and to want her, and therefore he made her go in the month of Teves, where he's the most desperate, if you might say, for physical intimacy. So this is why he Hashem made it that way. But everything has a deeper godly explanation. It's explained in Chassidus that the ultimate pleasure that God has is the pleasure that he has from our serving him with our physical bodies. Spiritual service is not that, is nice and beautiful, but that's not what really gets to the essence of God. The essence of God is connects to the material physical world the most. And that's what it means, the body enjoys the body. The body enjoys the body, meaning over here, means the essence of God taking pleasure of our connecting to him of our bodies, which is very messianic. That's the whole Mashiach. It's that until Mashiach, the main revelation is in the spiritual world. And it's not the essence of God, it's the lights of God. But Mashiach is going to be a time when the essence is revealed in the essence down here. And the 20th of that month, it's got the qualities of the month of Teves. Then he says, then we get the qualities of the month of Shvat, the following next month, which Shvat, wow, that's the day that my father-in-law passed away, the Yahrzeit, and also consequently the Rebbe became Rebbe. So it's such a messianic energy in that month. Because all the work of my father-in-law, who's like the Rebbe's later going to say, the Mashiach of our generation, is in full power, on the full display on the day of his yahrzeit. So the month of Shvat is so powerful. So the 20th of Shvat, super powerful day. Well, we have that 20th already today. And then he skips the month of Adar and he says, so to the next month. And he's shooting for what? The month of Nisan. What's so special about the month of Nisan? Because that's when we're going to conclude my 90th year. It doesn't say the word mine. He just states it like, we conclude the 90th year. Because remember, the Rebbe's birthday switches in the month of Nisan. And we will start the 91st. So we will reach the zenith of the conclusion of this chapter. And the chapter concludes with God's blessing for the temple, which is the third temple. And who's going to build it? Mashiach is going to build it. So like the power, we need Mashiach there on scene to build the temple. The Rebbe is kind of like throwing himself into the conclusion of this year, of that year, into the Messiah, into Mashiach's position to build the temple. These are the words he says. A king from the house of David is going to bring that. And that's the 20th of Nisan is therefore also connected to Cheshvan, because Cheshvan has all the 20th in it. So we have already everything. And therefore the Rebbe concludes, we don't have to wait till Nisan for all this to be activated. Since today, the 20th of Cheshvan, being the foundation of the year, because it's the first week of the first month of work in the world. So it's the foundation of the whole year. So it includes all of them. So all the special treats that we're supposed to get then, we can get them already today. So therefore, let it be already the Rebbe's blessing that Mashiach should already build the temple already today. We don't have to wait for Nisan. Okay. Now we conclude in chapter 14, and this is what I was waiting for the entire session in all four classes. Here is the bomb. But now the Rebbe says, after I've explained to you that we're in the zone, from every angle, and I've shared with you how each and every one of us can experience the deepest godly revelation. First of all, the fact that we have a soul, just like, and that's been true throughout all the generations. Then even deeper than that, we have already the deepest part of our soul in access. You can open up your Mashiach spark in you and reveal it in your life. And the way the Rebbe explains, it means every aspect of our life is permeated with mindfulness, with spirituality, with content, with purpose. We feel Mashiach in everything that we're doing. That by doing that, you're fanning the flames of your own spark of Mashiach. And you're living in the revelation of Ayera Elav Hashem. And you can already start expecting future Mashiach revelation, enlightenment. After he says that, he says, but now, in addition to this, and this is the main point, look at this. In addition to the sparks of Mashiach that there is in every Jewish man and woman, every person of the generation, they have a spark of Mashiach and they can activate it and live a higher Mashiach life. In addition to that, there is the literal Mashiach. In the simple level, the words of the Rebbe, I'm going to read it. Kayemes, there exists kametzi asay shel Mashiach, also the phenomenon, the existence of Mashiach, kipshutai, in the literal sense. Who is he? He is the general, he is the deepest point of all the souls. We said earlier that every soul has five names, five levels, and the nucleus of the soul is the Yechida, the highest level. So it is an individual soul. It's also regarding the global soul. There's a global soul. Now, in the global soul, the individual souls are all part of the global soul. But in the global soul, then there's also these five layers. Each one of these five layers of the soul, going from the more external to the more internal, was personified by a human being. A person in history that personifies that level of soul. So King David personifies nefesh of the soul. The lowest level, King David. Elijah the prophet, the spirit, the second, the higher level. Moses, the soul, neshama. Adam, Adam Arishon, the level of chesed. This is not the Rebbe's own. This is from the Arizal, okay? Greatest Kabbalist, teaches us this. Who is going to inhabit the soul of Yechida, which represents complete oneness with God? The one who's going to merit that level of soul is Mashiach, and he is the Yechida. And he teaches us about our own Yechida and helps us fan our own spark, okay? So the Rebbe says, there is this individual. Now, where is this individual? Mashiach. The Rebbe says, first of all, you should know, Mashiach doesn't come through the sky. Mashiach is not a person who just comes down with wings, and when he lands, he drops his wings and is a human being. It ain't happening that way, because that's not the Jewish Mashiach. It was never supposed to be. It's not happening. Actually, the Rebbe says, Mashiach is always, there is a Mashiach standby. There's one person in the world who is a direct descendant of King David, who has the bloodline of this royal blood flowing in his blood, and is given a soul of the level of Yechida. And in every generation, the reason that is, because there needs to be a Mashiach on standby. If the generation is worthy, if we're ready to pop Mashiach's energy in the world, God does not want to wait till someone is born and then he gets older enough to be able to be Mashiach. God has a Mashiach, someone who has the soul of Mashiach on standby. This idea is also not original. The Rebbe brings this from it's interesting that someone pointed this out to me yesterday, in all the 40 years of the Rebbe teaching, hours and hours, this was not a concept that is known that the Rebbe mentioned. In this last year, in 1992, the Rebbe mentions it about four or five times in the next coming talks. This one, and then it keeps on mentioning it. What is he saying? This is a teaching from the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura is Rabbi Avadya Bar Tanura. He wrote many books, most famous for his commentary on the Mishnah. He lived probably in the 1500s, in the late 1400s, 1500s, that's what I think, 1500s. And he writes in one of his books, in his commentary for the book of Ruth, because that's where it talks about the Davidic lineage, he writes over there, listen to these words, that in every generation, someone is born who is from the bloodline of Judah, that means he comes from the family of Yehuda, which is the family of King David, who is worthy to be Mashiach for the Jewish people. Now, there is always a potential Mashiach. Now the Rebbe switches over to another quote from the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer was a great Hungarian rabbi who lived about 200 years ago. Rebbe Moshe Sofer was his name. He was rabbi in the city of Presburg, one of the most noted rabbis in the last 200-300 years, like one of the most revered halachic authorities. So he writes that the individual that we just mentioned is someone who doesn't only have a soul potential, but is someone who is worthy because of his righteousness to be the Redeemer. Someone who is worthy. Someone who is so perfect, so holy, so godly. However, the fact that he's worthy doesn't mean that he's going to be activated. The Chasam Sofer says, when the time is ripe, in other words, when God decides Mashiach needs to come, Hashem will reveal himself to him and send him, in other words, will activate his Mashiach power, and then this person will then be able to redeem the entire world, bring about the third redemption, build the temple, and all this. So there is someone in standby. The Rebbe adds a very interesting thing. He says, if there would not be things that block, if in history there wouldn't have been blockages, then many of these, or possibly one of these Mashiachs, would have been activated. But sadly, they weren't, because there were interferences, things that blocked. However, hear this line. Now that my father-in-law has the leader of our generation, the Rebbe, my father-in-law. Now the Rebbe adds a title to his father-in-law. I think I explained this in the past, and I'll explain it again. The Rebbe is the seventh Rebbe. He took the mantle of leadership from the sixth Chabad Rebbe, and he expanded the previous Rebbe's work like on exponential. The Rebbe comes to America, leads the seeds for the spreading, for the global network. The Rebbe takes it and runs with it, right? The Rebbe, however, saw himself as a Rebbe only intertwined with his father-in-law. In other words, he even expressed himself and he said, his soul is inside of me. So when the Rebbe never refers to himself in his talks, that himself being the Rebbe. He's always alluding to his father-in-law is the Rebbe, almost like in it manifesting in his body. Anybody that knows the Rebbe's style will attest to this. I'm not making this up. This is the Rebbe referred to. So when the Rebbe a lot of times says, my father-in-law of Saintly Merrily said that we finished all the work, actually some of those statements were vaguely said by the previous Rebbe. It's the Rebbe that makes those statements in a very, very strong way. Like the Friedrich Rebbe said, we still have to polish the buttons. The Rebbe said, we finished polishing the buttons. But in many of the talks, the Rebbe says, my father-in-law said and announced to the generation that we've already completed polishing the buttons. The previous Rebbe, we have no record that he ever said that. That's because the Rebbe is talking, the previous Rebbe is talking through the Rebbe. The Rebbe would go spend hours and hours communicating with the previous Rebbe at his resting place in Queens. Hours upon hours. So when the Rebbe says about my father-in-law, he means his father-in-law continuing into himself. So he says, based on the announcement of my father-in-law, the leader of the generation, who is, if you want to know who was the Mashiach or who is, now the Rebbe doesn't say who was. If you want to know currently, the Rebbe says, who is the Mashiach in this generation? He says it explicitly. Remember, he just said there's one person in every generation. So he says, who is the Mashiach in our generation? He says, my father-in-law, the leader of the generation. Based on what I just shared with you, what is he saying? He doesn't mean my father-in-law and he passed away 50 years ago and he was the Mashiach because he's talking about our generation. So he's clearly continuing the previous Rebbe into this generation. So he means himself as he is manifesting the previous Rebbe. So he says, but let's see. Okay. So the Rebbe is claiming, now obviously it makes perfectly sense because this has to be a very big tzaddik. A huge tzaddik, a very saintly person, and that has huge influence on the world. So the Rebbe is definitely, even if you're not a Chabad chassid maybe, you can't argue now that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was not, even on the most simplest of levels, the greatest force in world Jewry post-Holocaust. And if you want to argue with me, so you'll say, definitely one of the greatest forces. I feel comfortable saying the greatest impact in world Jewry post-Holocaust. Okay, fine. So if that, so he's a tzaddik, knows the entire Torah, teaches the esoteric and influences the entire world for good, and is not even happy with his people going out and reaching Jews. He wants them to reach non-Jews as well and to teach them the seven Noahide laws. Stuff that has never been done, but through no one ever touched this, no one did this through all the generations, and now the Rebbe is calling for all these things. Okay, so we can say it would make sense to say that, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That if the time would come that God would want to send Mashiach, the person he would spark would be the Lubavitcher Rebbe because he's got that potential, he's got that soul. It's got to be a person who's with the generation, right? Is there. But the Rebbe says, now what did my father-in-law or my father-in-law, so to speak, my father-in-law, Mashiach in the generation, my father-in-law in me, what did he announce? He told us that we have already finished all the work. All the work that needed to be done has already been completed. And we are now standing ready to greet Mashiach. In other words, let me just reframe this. We've had Mashiach present in every generation. Maybe the Baal Shem Tov was Mashiach in his generation. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai could have been Mashiach in his generation. then wherever, we'll try to figure out who was the most influential, greatest rabbi in his generation with the Mashiach potential. But many of those potentials were potentials that never manifest. Why? Because the work was not over yet. We still had work to do. So that doesn't mean that Mashiach couldn't come. We could have done something so spectacular that would have kind of been considered as if we finished all the work. And then we would have kind of hit the emergency brake, or we would have put the pedal to the metal or hit the gas. And then as a result of that, it would have accelerated and God would say, oh my, I need to bring Mashiach today. Who am I getting? God would activate Mashiach. But there was work to do and the work was not finished. But the Rebbe is coming to tell us something awesome over here. He says, I've already announced. And who announced it? The leader of the generation who knows the generation and the one that's the Mashiach of the generation. He's already announced that all the work is done. So therefore, what's the Rebbe's conclusion? In our days, all the interferences are already out of the way. Till now, there is a Mashiach, but there is blockages. Mashiach has certain walls obstacles that are not letting him be activated because we didn't finish the work. But now that the work was done, all these obstacles are away. Mashiach has now a straight path. If so, and here is the words. I'm going to read it in Hebrew so we don't. You'd think I'm not saying the words. V'kivin shekein. It's since this. Yashna, we have. Loira kametzias to Mashiach. We don't only have the existence of Mashiach in a potential person. That means the existence of Mashiach. Elagam, there is something more over here. What do we have? His galus to Mashiach. We also have the revelation of Mashiach. That means the Mashiach that I mentioned earlier, that is potential, is now revealed. I'm reading these words slowly so that we can, if we add up the pieces, you don't read it, you read it slowly. What does he say? He clearly referred to his father-in-law himself as the Mashiach of the generation. He says, till now there were obstacles and therefore the Mashiach never was materialized. But now that potential Mashiach has been activated because he is revealed. What does it mean revealed? Mashiach revealed means he's been charged by God. He said earlier, he explained from the Chasam Sofer, when does Mashiach reveal himself? When God reveals himself to him and activates him. So the Rebbe is saying, but now Mashiach is revealed already. So the Rebbe is kind of saying, I think that means that Hashem revealed himself to him already and told him that he's Mashiach and he needs to redeem the Jewish people. So the Rebbe says, so what now? If Mashiach is already revealed, what now? Is there anything for us to do? The Rebbe says, yeah. Now the job of everybody is to go receive the face of Mashiach. Kabbalas Pnei Mashiach. We need to go greet him. We need to go meet him and greet him. And now what do you do when you greet Mashiach? The Rebbe is going to spend the next couple of talks explaining and going into the concept of now the work is to be greeting Mashiach. So we're going to get more clarity. But first understand, Mashiach on his part is revealed already. Nothing needed anymore on his end in terms of revelation. He still has work to do. He's got to build a temple. He's got to take all the Jewish people back to Israel. He's got to get rid of all evil from the world. He's got to start teaching the world and bring the highest in light. He's got a lot of work to do. But in terms of revelation is complete. He's revealed. This is not me saying. This is the Lubavitcher Rebbe talking. And if the Rebbe Sali continues, in the verbiage of the Parsha, just like we said that God reveals himself to everybody, but now it's your job to open yourself up to reveal, to accept and experience that revelation. So apply that to Mashiach. Mashiach is already here. Now you just kind of make yourself aware that Mashiach is here and open yourself up to that and become conscious of it. not only for yourself, but you got to bring it to the whole world, which is, as we said earlier, the concept of chai cheshvan, to bring it to the world. It's one thing for yourself. Now you got to bring it to the world. Where do you have to bring it to? Who? Which world? To where? Not to some spiritual world. You have to reveal it. Where? In our material physical world. Because Mashiach, when he is fully revealed, and when he's fully active, he's going to speak and influence everything. As the verse says, everything that was made will know that you made it. In other words, will experience the divine revelation. So much so that even he will influence plants, that plants will, fruits will speak God. That means this is all part of the messianic revelation. That means that if the revelation is already here technically, it's just about tuning everything into that revelation. How much more so the Jewish people need to be tuned in, and they can point with their finger and say, here is our God, here is the godly revelation. Yeah. If this is the case, so what's the Rebbe's conclusion? So he drops a bomb. Now, this is the first time the Rebbe said something like this in such explicit words. Now, you're going to see, if you're following me over the next couple of months, hopefully Mashiach will be fully revealed to our eyes by then, you will see that the Rebbe is really building on this, and he very much he's not shy anymore. He says it as it is. He's not hiding it. But this was the first time that he said it so explicitly. And why? It must have been that this revelation happened to him just at that time. If you remember 2 weeks ago, in Parshas Noach, in the talk over there, the Rebbe said that we have one more job to do. He said, now, since all the work was done, really these things are following. Remember, these are all we're doing Key to Redemption over here, and we're in the 30th episode. So this is following the 29th and the 28th. So in the 28th episode, called A Higher Accounting, we discussed all the way in the end, the Rebbe said that since we've done an accounting, everything has been finished already, so what's holding things up? Now it's only dependent on Mashiach. The next move Mashiach needs to do. You hear that? In other words, we're playing chess over here. We're all moving. Then, you know, you move, and then it's the next person's turn to move. So the Rebbe says, you did your work, the work that was 2,000 years. We finished it. Who's got to make the next move? The next move, the Rebbe says, now it's only dependent on Mashiach. Mashiach has got to make the next move. What's his move? He's got to reveal himself. No. But the Rebbe gave a suggestion of how to get Mashiach to reveal himself. What was the suggestion? The Rebbe then said, we have to do the work of Kiddush Levana. We have to go the sanctification of the moon, which we explained then, and it's very much integrated in the talk. Yeah, and the Rebbe mentions that verse there as well. It says, you should go seek out David, your king. What does it mean to seek out your king? When you see someone, which is referring to Mashiach, you will seek out, it's a prophecy, that you will seek out King David, meaning the future King David, which is Mashiach. You will seek him out. The commentaries say it means two things. Begging God that God should give us Mashiach. And secondly, if you see someone with the qualities of Mashiach, like the Jewish people will see before Mashiach comes, they will petition this person to be their king. So the Rebbe said that's the work that needs to be done. During these weeks, during that year, 1992, Hasidim were signing petitions and sending to the Rebbe letters with hundreds and hundreds of them signed, asking the Rebbe to reveal himself as Mashiach. Basically saying, we are your subjects. We know you have it in you. We know you're the chosen one. Reveal yourself. So again, we're playing chess over here. We did the work for 2,000 years. A lot of work. That was a big move. Now it's his turn. But he tells us there's something you need, even though it's my turn, even though it's Mashiach, he doesn't say who. He just says, it's Mashiach's turn. So you got to seek him out, and you got to, in order to activate. And he's going to say, he's actually going to say it soon. He says, since we did already the work. Oh, no, he said it earlier. I missed it. He says, Shekvar Niskay, and we've already done the work when it says, seek out Hashem and David your king. He says it earlier. I mean, the Rebbe is saying, in the last 2 weeks when I prompted you, you've done it already. So now it's up to who? Once you've petitioned, now it's up to Mashiach to reveal. So in this talk, the Rebbe actually drops that incredible statement that Mashiach is revealed. Let's stop cutting and hiding behind the bush. The Rebbe said, I am Mashiach. If we read this honestly, he didn't say it in those exact words. But that's what he's saying. Now, if it would only be over here, I would say, maybe not, you need a little more. Well, we're going to learn the next episode, episode 31, this week's Torah portion, Chayasara. And there he makes it very practical. But we're going to get there. I want to first finish this talk as it is without get everybody too excited. It's good to get excited in the good way. Let's continue. He says, how does he conclude the whole talk? He says, well, since this is the case, we can understand that if Mashiach is already revealed, you got your man already. You got already everything. It's already all present. It's here on the table. So it's so understood how each and every one of us should be saturated with Mashiach. You should be oozing Mashiach. So much so, he gives an example. So much so. You cannot eat, especially it has to express itself in the mundane. He says you can't eat and drink without having Mashiach in your mind. But the Rebbe makes it so like rich. He says, you know, when Mashiach comes, we're promised that we're going to have this incredible meal. There's this big fish, the Leviathan fish, and a big ox, and special wines that are going to be taken out. It's like that's been sitting and aging since the days of 6 days of creation. And it's like, wow, what? In Chassidus, it explains it's a physical meal, but also a spiritual meal. But whatever it is, Rebbe says when you eat, because you're waiting so much for Mashiach to happen any second, you're expecting your life. Imagine that you were told by your wife or whatever that she's making you steak, and that she bought steaks. She showed you even like a nice thick steak. Said tonight for dinner, whatever. You're excited. You want, and you come home, and you find that instead of the steak, there is some some chicken nuggets. You can be a little upset because I was expecting this and I didn't get it. The Rebbe says, since I'm telling you that we're so there. So when every time you eat and your food is a tuna sandwich, or even if it's a steak, but it's not the big fish and it's not the sherbet. Literally, the Rebbe says you're longing for it and you're frustrated, so much so that you can't become full from the food that you eat. Imagine that statement. He says you're not full, you're not satiated, and then you have a complaint to God. You complain to God. You told me in the Torah, I have to eat and be satiated. And only when you eat and you're satiated, you should bless God. You eat, you're satiated, and you will bless it. But what can I do? I can't be satiated because I'm expecting that meal. I'm not getting that meal. You're keeping us in exile a little longer. And so how can I fulfill your commandment to say grace after the meal? Now, the fact that you complain to God, the Rebbe says, God will answer. He doesn't leave it in the complaint. He says, God will answer. How will God answer? He will provide that meal. But if we would be living in this state and we would really not be able, now, thank God, even though we heard this 30 years ago, how many of us walk around and don't feel satiated after a good lunch? We're good. The Rebbe said we shouldn't. He's expecting of us. He's expecting of us to be so tuned into Mashiach. And he's giving you an example. It doesn't have to be this example. It should be anything we do should be so tuned into the reality of Mashiach that everything we experience so much from the Mashiach place. involves the joy of living in this place and also the frustration of not having it fully. And when is God going to fulfill this request? The Rebbe says, on the meal of Shabbos. We're not going to wait for it till tomorrow. The Rebbe says, let it be right now. Because Shabbos meals are connected to Mashiach, especially the third meal of Shabbos, which was when the Rebbe is giving the talk, right before the third meal, of Parshas Vayera. And like the sages say in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Vayera, when it says Yitzchak grew older and he was weaned off nursing, and it says that Abraham made a big party for him, the sages say, the Midrash says, that God is going to make a big party for the tzaddikim, referring to this party when we're going to be weaned off the exile. And over there, it's going to be a whole party, and they're going to offer, it's going to come to saying the grace after the meals, and God is going to offer it to all the great patriarchs, and everyone is going to decline, even Moses is going to decline, and only King David, which in this case means Mashiach, the future King David, is going to say, I'm supposed to say the blessing, because it says, Kais Yeshua is Esa, the cup of salvation I will lift up. And the main, and so that's the conclusion of this party. Therefore, the main thing, that all of this should already be in the revealed way. It should be an actualization that we can point with our fingers and say, this is him. This is Melech HaMashiach. Here he is. There it says, we can point with our finger and say, here he is. This is him. Those point to an individual person, not some abstract. Let it be that we can actually point to him and say, this is him. And he says, and here is my father-in-law, the leader of the generation, who will be resurrected. Now he's obviously referring to his father-in-law, because at this time the Rebbe was with us physically. So he's saying, and my father-in-law who will be resurrected, and we point with our fingers. Or we can say the Rebbe was, I wouldn't think that's the simple meaning, but we can say that the Rebbe was throwing in over here, since we said father-in-law means himself as well, as we said earlier, could be the Rebbe is throwing in, again, I'm just saying this as a possibility, throwing in the idea that the Rebbe as well, with his father-in-law, will be needing resurrection by the time Mashiach comes. And in addition to that, we will point with our finger and say, here is God. This is God that we've been waiting for him, and we will rejoice in his salvation. The great joy of the redemption, of the true and complete redemption, in a revealed way, in a literal sense, tangibly, that we can make the blessing on it. Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. You've enlivened us, you've sustained us, and you brought us, you had us arrive to this awesome time. This is how the Rebbe concludes this awesome talk of Parshas Vayera. Stay tuned for the next episode for more of this mind-blowing thing that happened 32 years ago. The questions you are asking that you might be thinking, so what happened with the revelation? I will take you back to a midrash that tells us, and it's not just a midrash, it's put in so many different places. Mashiach is revealed, he is concealed, and he's revealed again. That's all I can say on it. Okay, thank you so much for joining.